Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another Geekverse SideQuest bonus episode. And a little bit of a crossover with the John Wick retrospective that we're doing on the main feeds. That's right, just me, Dylan, here today. I'm going to be talking about John Wick Hex, which was the John Wick video game released in 2019 from Bithel Games. It's a kind of a weird, interesting strategy game, which I don't know if that's what people were wanting or hoping for from a John Wick game in terms of not really turn-based, but more of a slower-paced tactical kind of game instead of a more action heavy sort of thing, but that's what we got, and so I'm gonna be talking about that today. But yeah, just quickly wanted to mention that on the main feeds we have been doing the John Wick retrospective, going through the three movies leading up to John Wick Chapter 4, which comes out pretty soon here, so you can go check out all those as well. And yeah, let's get right into this game. So I've had this game on my radar for a few years. One, I just thought it looked interesting from the trailers, even though I'm not a big John Wick fan. I've watched all the movies now. I'm still not a huge fan. I think they're all right. But more so because of Bithel Games, the studio working on this. Mike Bithel's the creative director, the studio head over there. And he's on the Play, Watch, Listen podcast, which I really enjoy. And I just like his takes on games, and he always offers some really great insight on just kind of the indie process and whatnot. And so because of that, I've been more interested to check out some of his games. The only other one I have played at this point is Thomas Was Alone, which is a really cool 2D platformer with a very fun narrative. Definitely check that out if you're ever looking for a simple, straightforward 2D platformer with just a surprising, interesting narrative layer thrown over top of it. And then people also might know the studio. They are doing Tron Identity, that Tron visual novel that's coming out, I think, sometime in 2023. Solitaire Conspiracy. What else do they do? Subsurface Circular, I think, is the name of one of their other games. But yeah, I think Thomas Was Alone and John Wick, probably their two biggest hits. And then I'm sure Tron will do pretty well because it's another IP kind of game, even if it's once again, smaller scale indie in terms of what that IP is going to be. Looking into how the game did, because I feel like it's very much flown under the radar. But it's, yeah, mixed on Steam in terms of the reviews. And then 74, that's yellow on Metacritic. And, you know, that's the PC version. But PS4 version, I think, is a tiny bit higher. And maybe the Switch version is a bit lower, unsurprisingly. Maybe some performance issues or something like that. So, yeah, the reviews aren't amazing for it, just pretty average overall. And then I couldn't really find sales figures for this thing, but I do recall Mike Bithel on that podcast saying that John Wick Hex did very well. So he obviously didn't drop individual numbers based on platform and all this stuff, but he said it did very well financially. So that's really all I have to go off of. And I guess it's not too surprising. It's like the only official John Wick game. I think John Wick's like in Fortnite or something like that, but if you want a true John Wick game, this is the only thing you will get there. And I had a really good time with it. I really enjoyed playing through this thing. I just checked it out for the first time here in the last couple weeks, even though it came out in 2019, finally got around to it. Got it on sale for like $5. I think at full price it's $25. This is Canadian, so I don't know. You might want to wait for a sale on it, but I really enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of tactics games, turn-based strategy games, and this is kind of a weird hybrid between real-time and turn-based, and so I'll talk more about that soon. But it was a pretty interesting culmination of these two sorts of games into one. And I think for the narrative's sake, it's an all right story, but I also don't think any of the movies have a very interesting story either. So it's pretty much on par with those in terms of quality, I would say. Maybe a little less just because of the... there's not a lot of characters in this game, at least spoken line dialogue characters. So yeah, I want to get right into it. And I want to talk about the story first, because I think, you know, a lot of people listening to this might be curious how this fits in with what's going on with the movies. And the answer is not a lot. It takes place before the events of the first John Wick. And I think one of the early blurbs in the game is like, before hell ends. So it's like, it's definitely way before the events of the movie. Well, maybe not way before it, but at some point before the events of the movies. But it is still post John Wick being the Baba Yaga, him being this big scary force that commands a lot of respect and fear within this this world of John Wick. So it's absolutely not an origin story, but it's before the first movie, which makes sense, right? I think this game would have come out after the third movie, and I don't know, even if they were to wedge it in between one of the other movies, you can't really do that, right? Because I think John Wick 1 to 2, there's like no time that passes whatsoever. And then 2 to 3, it's very little as well. Like that whole trilogy takes place over the course of like 2 weeks. So it'd be hard to wedge something in between. And you also don't really want this to be a follow-up, because that's just a weird way for the things to go. Yeah, check out these three movies and then play this weird indie game and then go check out John Wick Chapter 4 in theaters again. So I think this is a good way to do it. Because of that, it doesn't really have any ramifications on the greater world. There's introducing a new villain and that whole hierarchy of that whole villain's lair and whatnot. But yeah, I think one of the interesting things here is they got a couple voice actors from the movies. So Ian McShane as Winston and Lance Reddick as Sharon are in this thing. Yeah, so they have a lot of spoken dialogue in these cutscenes. And then Troy Baker is the voice of Hex, who you might know as Joel from The Last of Us or James in The Last of Us TV show. Higgs from Death Stranding, he's done a million roles. He's one of the most prolific voice actors out there. And funnily enough, on that Play, Watch, Listen podcast, Troy Baker is also on that with Mike Bithell, along with Austin Wintory, who is the composer for this game. So it's kind of like a trifecta from that podcast of people who worked on this game together. But yeah, just talking about those voice performances, I mean, Ian McShane, Lance Reddick, they're great. They do their job well. It's not the most riveting performance or big character twists or anything like that, but it was still fun to have them. And it doesn't feel like they phoned it in. It doesn't feel like they're all in the same room acting off each other, getting these visceral scenes or anything like that. But they, you know, solid performances for what they are. But I think for me, the highlight is definitely Troy Baker as Hex. It was something that I couldn't even pick up on for the first maybe half of the game. I was like, man, this voice is so familiar. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't picture it. Like, who is this? And then I looked it up. I'm like, oh yeah, I definitely can hear the Troy Baker-ness of it. But he's definitely hamming it up, doing this kind of very thick accent and very accentuated, very playing up the kind of mustache twirling sort of villain. And he does an amazing job. It's a really compelling performance. I really like that. You mentioned, you'll notice I did not mention Keanu. He does not make an appearance, which is, it's both weird, you know, that your main character doesn't talk at all or interact with the other characters, but at the same time, there isn't really a situation in which he should be. And also, John Wick doesn't even really talk that much in the movies compared to other movies. When you look at protagonists, usually they're probably having the most spoken lines, but he's just not one of those kinds of characters. So it truly does not feel that weird. But I think because of this, like, pretty much all of the story of the game is set up such that Hex is talking with Winston and Sharon, that being Lance Reddick's character, the concierge Sharon there. So they're all kind of having this conversation in his room, and Hex is sort of talking about what John Wick has done to, it's almost like in a past tense, he's talking about what John Wick has done to take down his whole conspiracy, his whole gang and whatnot. And that's kind of happening in real time. So you get a cutscene, and then you go do a level where you take out one of his lackeys, and then you do another level, then you get another cutscene, then you go into another level, you took out the harbor, which was like what they used to import weapons and all this stuff. And it goes back and forth like that. And then sometimes during the levels, you'll have some dialogue more from those characters. And this is a slight spoiler, but I don't think you need to worry about it, which is that the conversation that Hex, Winston, and Sharon are having all in that same room, that's like where the final boss room is. You eventually like go into this room that they've been talking in this whole time to take him out for good at the end there. So, I mean, there's not really like any big plot twists. There isn't really much of a big narrative here. You know, one of Hex's lackeys is his daughter, so there's a kind of this emotional connection there. But yeah, there's not really too much else to say about it. I think it's totally serviceable. It's fine. It fills in the blanks. One criticism I do have to throw at it though is that the cutscenes are very much visual novel-y, you know, probably what you can expect from Tron Identity, where it's kind of just an image and you get these characters talking, then you'll get a new image on the screen and it's kind of them going through this conversation. But the voice does not line up with what's going on in the subtitles. And then because of that, like, and it's not like, you know, actual 3D modeling characters move around, it's just images. It maybe lines up with the dialogue at some point. Sometimes it lines up with the subtitles, but it never really mixes all together. And it seems to be like the longer the cutscene goes on, the more it goes out of sync. So I don't know. I played it on PC and I mean, the game has pretty low specs, so I have to imagine it's just a bug, but it's weird that I'm playing it 4 years after release and this is still a thing in the game. It makes it a bit hard to get into some of the scenes in terms of just being immersed in the environment and whatnot. But let's move on then. I think, you know, the first thing I want to just really commend about this game, I'm just going to throw a little footage on in the background here for the YouTube audience, is for me, the aesthetics is where this game shines the greatest. The music, once again, from Austin Wintry is fantastic. It's just like what you kind of expect from John Wick at times. I was like, oh, did they pull some stuff from the movie here and kind of put it in? But it, because it just has that feeling to it, even though it is new music and all that. And then the aesthetics too, like the character models and the faces, not great. But once again, since you're in that kind of isometric pull-out camera for most of the game as you're playing, going through these combat sequences, it doesn't really matter. You don't really pay attention to it. You don't really notice it. And then just the color palettes of these different levels of the bank, which, you know, it's kind of got gold, brown highlights. The snowy landscape is really cool, where you have just the white blanket of snow and then the kind of purple shadows. There's kind of like an orange turquoise sort of combined level. And then the, you know, big part of this game is the line of sight element of it. So the shadows are kind of filling in real time with each movement that you make. And as you're seeing more of the environment, it looks amazing. Really, really impressed by the visuals of this thing. So together, yeah, the visuals and the music combined, like make it just a really enjoyable experience to go through in that way. But yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the tactics gameplay here. I think it's one of those things where there's a lot of elements to it. And if I look at it, it's, like I said, kind of a hybrid of real time and turn-based. And the way they do that is that there's this timeline that you can see at the top of the screen, and every action takes an amount of time on the timeline. So a movement, moving one tile might take half a second. Shooting your gun might require a second and a half of setup time, and then it will take a second to do your two shots. Something like a takedown might take half a second of setup, and then a second and a half in terms of how long that animation takes to play out. So you have very specific time sets on each individual move you're making, and so that's kind of how it goes, where there's obviously an optimal move at any given time, but you might just not have the time to maybe get your shot off before your enemy will. So instead, you're going to try and break line of sight, hide behind cover, or, you know, something like, let's say an enemy is about to shoot you and you don't have time to shoot first, but you might have time to throw your gun at their head, knock them into stun, run up and like hit them with a karate chop or something like that to take them out. And it's kind of all about that, really focused on the line of sight. I really like this. I played a lot of tactics game. I've talked about a bunch of those on the podcast over the years. I can't really think of any where you only have one playable character. So that totally changes what you got to do. And obviously there's a lot more depth in your individual character's moveset. And I think this rather than a turn-based, to have this kind of real-time element to it really helps to make the game flow at a nice pace. So it's It's really about, like, yeah, picking up different weapons, getting into scramble gunfights where you're burning through ammo. Each gun when you pick up only has a little bit of ammo left at any given point. And then making sure you have enough of your focus meter. Your focus meter will let you do the takedown moves or things like dodging and stuff. So you have to make sure you have a reserve of that. And yeah, it's really interesting. I really had a good time with it. I think there's quite a bit of a learning curve to it. For the first couple levels, I was really taking the time to learn it. And then as they're implementing more mechanics to it, it was getting more and more difficult. And I think maybe another criticism here for me is that the difficulty curve is kind of off, where there's six main levels in the game and then a precursor kind of tutorial level. So of those six main levels, I think the third and maybe the fourth were the hardest for me. And then the fifth and sixth were very easy. The sixth one had one level that was very, very difficult. But that's pretty much it. Like, it just became a bit of a cakewalk. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. One is you're getting better at the game. But then also the game doesn't really introduce any new mechanics beyond what I set up there in that initial sequence, where the enemies will get those new weapon types. And then new enemy types because of that, where they have more HP. But it's pretty much just the difference in guns that changes things. And there's four gun types: shotguns, pistols, SMGs, and assault rifles. And then there's two variants of each of those guns. But the variants are so minimal that really it kind of just feels like there's the four weapon types. And that's really the only way that the...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Game gets more complex as you're going, other than maybe the levels becoming maybe having more difficulty to them. But in terms of, like, there isn't, you know, an element where, okay, eventually you start to pick up weapons in your environment. How I feel like that's a big thing in the movies, where there's obviously that one scene in the hallway of glass and knives and stuff, and they're smashing windows, throwing knives at each other, or interacting with the environment. There's not really a ton of that in this game, and I was kind of hoping it would go there. I think it does instead stay a bit grounded and trying not to overcomplicate things, but at the cost of maybe making the back half of the game, I still enjoyed my time with it, but it just wasn't getting any more interesting. It wasn't adding any layers onto what was introduced there. Another element that I thought was kind of interesting is that the way each of these six levels are set up is that, let's say it's the harbor, and the first level might be like you going down there's sub-levels within this greater harbor area. And so there's maybe it's split into, like, let's say five or six actual levels. So the first one's like you going down the street to get to the harbor. Another one's like going through the storage container area. Another one's like when you're actually on the docks. And then other one's when you're actually on the boat, the whatever it is, the freighter, whatever that boat is. And so each one of these levels, you're kind of carrying over your progress. So you ideally want to do great in that first level, because if you do really poorly, you lose all your HP and you have no weapon going into that second one, then you're going to be in a really bad spot. So it's a very tiny baby amount, kind of like how Sifu is. But obviously you don't go back to levels and refine them and then, like, continue going forward like in Sifu. It doesn't have that whole element to it, but it's more like you really want to think about your future self. And sometimes I might be like, let's say 10 turns, 10 movements into a level, and I've gotten taken a couple shots. I'll just restart that level right then and there, because I know that in the long run, I'm going to need to keep on this gun, this ammo, or this HP, whatever it is. But I like that element to it. I think, you know, one thing that could happen, though, is you could go into the next level with, let's say, 2 HP and no ammo in your gun, and then an enemy spawns in a spot where you're just screwed. I didn't have that, but I feel like it could have happened. There was one sequence when I was mentioning that sixth level. There's one very tricky section where right at the start of the level, it's kind of almost like a little gazebo or something like that, where it's this little round sequence, and there's like 15 enemies that will come at you in here, and it was rough. I had to replay that so many times, and one of the struggles was I went into that level with like a quarter of my HP, and to apply your bandage or to refocus, those things take a ton of time on that timeline tracker, and so you just pretty much will do it at the end of the level right before you move ahead, or if you've killed all the enemies in the area and then you have a bunch of time. But in the middle of a fight, there's no way you can heal. You will get interrupted without a doubt. The only other thing, yeah, that really complicates the game is there's like an elevator mechanic where you have to like go hit a button and then wait. But like, I don't know, that does not really change too much. But there's at least like enough setup here that like I would love to see a sequel to this game, whether it is John Wick. Well, you wouldn't call it Hex, I guess, because Hex is the name of the villain, and spoilers, he gets killed at the end. But whether that's another John Wick game or just taking this idea and whether it's another IP or a new IP, or even just like another indie studio taking the concepts here and taking them, revitalizing them, using them in a different way, reworking them, making a new game out of it. I think this is a really interesting idea here with a kind of timeline focused tactics game where you only have one character. It's really cool, and I would like to see more of it. There's also some other modes you can do here where there's like a, what is it called? Like expedited, I think is what they call it, where you only have 5 seconds to each, to select each move in this. So it kind of adds a franticness to it. I didn't try that out. I just played through the base game. And then there's bonuses too. Like if you don't get hit at all, if you didn't use healing, if you beat it very quickly, to get different medals and stuff. So there is incentive to go back and replay and focus on some of these levels. And I think maybe even like try and build your character out differently. There isn't like a skill tree and you're not upgrading your character linearly, but at the start of each level, you can use coins to either tailor your outfit in a different way. You don't really see the tailoring of the outfit, but that's kind of how they frame it, which is cool to frame it in the way the movies would. You can customize your outfits, so like dodges cost less focus, or maybe your gun accuracy is better at a longer distance, or you can like stash things in the level. And so I think when it comes down to it, if I were to replay these levels, try and get some of these bonus challenges, beating it quickly, not getting hit, using different ones of those, because I ended up just like always giving myself more HP and then like stashing bandages. And that to me was like, it worked 100% of the time. So why would I not do it every time? I really like the UI in this game. I think it's simple but effective, where there's the different bars at the bottom of the screen, the ammo, HP, and the focus bar. And then they kind of glow a little bit when you're low. It's very simple but effective. I really enjoyed that. There's a cool thing in here, which I've only ever seen one game do, but I want to see more games try this that have incremental moves like this, is a kind of a cinematic mode, whereas at the end of a level, you can watch a replay, and then it will kind of skip through all the, rather than like, okay, I took 10 seconds to make my selection here of what my move was, it like makes every move follow up very quickly in almost a bit of a real-time way. And then the camera angles change, so it gives it a bit more of a cinematic flash is what I was going to say. And I guess to get a bit more of that John Wick intense action movie feel. I think the thing that takes away from this is that the movement is so janky looking in this game. In real time, it doesn't feel that way, but when you watch the movements and it's like individual movements that kind of jank around, and because you're on like a hex grid, you're like not really moving in a straight line very often. So it doesn't look great. I watched it a few times, but ultimately it's something that I didn't think it was too great that I didn't really use it much. But it's something like Unpacking did this, where you can rewatch the level you just did, and it was very satisfying. And so it was cool. I think it could have been a bit refined in this game to make it feel a bit better. But at the same time, like, you don't really need that feature at all. So I'm not too surprised that they didn't go harder on it. Let's see, what else here do we want to get into? I guess, you know, a couple other criticisms. One is that the game has a fair few bugs in it. I mentioned that one with the cutscenes, but there's also a few points when, like, for whatever reason, my character just got into a position in which I wasn't allowed to make any moves. The timeline doesn't progress until I was supposed to select a move, but like I said, I couldn't select anything, couldn't move, couldn't cancel. So it just, like, it's just like softlocked weirdly. So I had to restart. One of the times this happened, I was at like the very end of a level, like looking at the exit door. So that was kind of frustrating. But yeah, it happened like 3 or 4 times in my playthrough. So a very weird bug that I'm surprised is in there. And then I've had a couple times too where an enemy just kind of glitched out and was untargetable, and had to just restart because you can't leave a level until all the enemies are dead. So yeah, kind of, that's kind of a weird thing. And then also, I think the boss fights are kind of weak in this game. I think the first one or two, once again, were pretty challenging as I was trying to figure it out, because like none of your melee attacks do anything. Your guns have such a low percent chance to hit. But at the time, I didn't realize that, like, oh, the higher your focus is, the higher your accuracy is with your weapons, because it doesn't really feel that way when you're fighting normal enemies. And I'm so used to using melee as an alternative. But that doesn't do anything against the bosses, so that was something that, yeah, I struggled with early on, but then the last couple bosses were just so easy, and I feel like you can kind of cheese them, and I feel like you can cheese a lot of things in this game. I don't know, I guess I'm playing like a regular strategy game, but it felt like I was cheesing it a bit, but, you know, I gotta do what I take, a win's a win, I gotta take it. And I think for me, this really shined with the final boss. When you fight Hex, like, that was a pretty lame fight, I gotta say. It was like, I pretty much just like got him in a corner and striked him a million times, which, as I said, it doesn't do damage, but it just knocks all his focus off so that he wasn't very effective. I walked over, picked up an assault rifle, and then just like crouched and shot him a bunch of times. And I wouldn't hit every shot because the accuracy is so low, but I'd hit him enough to like stun him so he couldn't react. He couldn't retaliate, and then it just killed him. So it was not the most exciting final boss fight, especially how much setup there was and how much I did like the character. It's a good villain as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah. What else is there to say about John Wick Hex? I guess, you know, I probably should open with this, but in terms of, like, recommendation, who is this for? I think if you're a big John Wick fan of the movies, I don't think it necessarily translates to you being into what this game is. I think if you're a big tactics fan, turn-based strategy, things like that, this is probably a pretty interesting game. It's smaller scale because of your single character, smaller scale because of the just indie team behind it, smaller scale because of just the size of levels and how long the game is. I think it took me 5 hours to get through the whole game here, and then obviously, like I said, a lot of bonus stuff I could do. But I think if you're looking for a short and sweet kind of experience like that, and you like the world of John Wick enough, even if you don't like John Wick, I think I still would have enjoyed this game pretty much about the same, to be honest. I probably like it a little bit more since I have seen all the John Wick movies, but the gameplay is very solid. If you're coming in here for another great John Wick story and looking for a deep dive on the lore and stuff, you're not going to get it here. This game does not really... I mentioned the story part of it, but in terms of like just zooming out, looking at the lore, something we talked about in the retrospective with the movies was, man, that first movie like sets up so many interesting concepts. And unfortunately for me, like 2 and 3 didn't really evolve those concepts in too meaningful of ways, but it was still like, man, I'm very intrigued by this mysterious world. There's a lot of strange things going on that I want to know more about. And I feel like this game does not dive into that. Like if you explore these levels, you're not going to find a piece of paper that has like some lore background like you would a lot of other games. There isn't any collectibles like that. There isn't really any other characters, right? There's kind of just those 3 spoken characters. 2 you already know, 1's a new character, but then everyone else like doesn't have spoken lines, so they don't really have too much of an effect to them. And they might have a cool aesthetic, like being the artist or whatever it is, but that's pretty much as far as they go. So yeah, I think for the recommendation for me, I think you got to be interested in strategy tactics games, but expect maybe a smaller scale. This might also be one too that like I could see someone picking this up for $5 on sale, playing through the first like 2 levels and then like being happy with it. Like I said, the gameplay doesn't really evolve too much beyond that. If you're really into that gameplay loop, cool, keep going. I don't think you need to stick around for the story, but like just to get a feel for it, I think that you'd get like a decent experience out of this for the price. Once again, if you get it on sale, I think if you're paying the full price, you might want to probably get your money's worth and play through the whole thing. But it's not that this is a surprising thing, but even looking at like the Steam achievements list in terms of what percentage of the players beat level 1 versus level 2 versus level 3. Every game's going to have a drop-off. But even some games, I'm always shocked on Steam where it's like, wow, still like 70% of people beat the last level in this game. That's pretty crazy that so many people got that far. For this, it was like a pretty steep drop-off I could notice after those first couple levels. And I think, once again, the difficulty curve does ratchet it up quite a bit in those first couple levels. I think a lot of people might have just struggled, been like, eh, I'm not really, this is not really what I'm looking for, and bounced. And I can't really blame them for that, to be honest. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all I got to say here. Had a good solid time with this thing. I'm looking forward to John Wick Chapter 4. I think for me, it's the runtime. God, that movie's going to be so long. But I think being, you know, playing through this game actually gave me a greater interest in that a little bit. And I got to say, like, this is my favorite John Wick thing, even though it's the story-wise, all the movies would be a step or two or three or four above this. The overall experience of playing through this, the gameplay, for me, outweighed, like, the great action scenes of the... Well, I'm not going to say outweighed those great action scenes, but if I was to do a ranking, I would... And we did a ranking at the end of John Wick Chapter 3 retrospective. I would put Hex, I think, above all of them, actually. Might be by, like, a small margin, but just for me personally, as more of a gamer, I think, for me, I liked the gameplay of this so much that it would carry it above it. So, there you go. There's John Wick Hex. If anyone else checks this out because of this, or if you've already played this game and want to share some thoughts, I'd love to hear what you think about it. I wrote a bit more of a written review of this too on my backlogged page there. You can go check that out. My account name is Rapatika over there. And I think that's pretty much all for today. So I will see you all with John Wick Chapter 4 and be back on SideQuest in just a few days. So see you next time. Bye-bye.